entire universe, the name of Jesus Christ. And we all say, amen. Revelation chapter 7, 17 verses, tremendous, controversial, whatever you want to call it, study. It's so many different opinions and really so many wrong opinions. The book of Revelation is one of the most unique books in the entire scripture, in the entire Bible. Remember, the word revelation means apocalypse, or the unveiling, or the uncovering. It's like lifting a veil off of Jesus Christ, because it is the unveiling of our Lord. Amen? It's unlike any other book in the Bible. It's the only complete prophetic book in the New Testament. And it's the only book that has a divine outline about things past, things present, things future. Revelation chapter 1, verse 19. And we are in things future. And it's the only book in the Bible that promises a blessing, a threefold blessing, that whoever would read or hear and keep the words of this prophecy, God says, I pronounce you blessed. Amen? So you are a blessed people, no matter how good or bad I do this morning. Amen. God says you are blessed. So as we look into this incredible book, the book that is actually the most neglected book in the Bible, the least studied book in the Bible, and the least taught in churches today. And what is so sad is that Jesus, our Lord, it's his revelation to us. Amen. And he wants us to know his church. He wants us to know things that are future. He wants us to be able to witness to the lost of this world and explain to them that the world is going to pass away, but he who does the will of God will abide forever. Amen? So as we look at our study this morning, we're going to talk about the sealed and the saved from the seventh chapter. And it's important that you grasp that chapter 7 is parenthetical, if you will. It's like, here's chapter 6, and we're going to put a parenthesis, if you will, around chapter 7, because it doesn't pick back up until chapter 8 with the seventh seal. We are in the midst, right after the sixth seal, if you will. And so as we look at this, the chronological progression from chapter 6 now stops. And we're into chapter 7, and it will pick back up in chapter 8. So remember, Jesus has now opened the six seals out of the seven, all right? And the four horsemen of the apocalypse, we have studied all of that. And we left off with the day of God's wrath. And in matter of fact, in verse 17 of chapter 6, you can look at it. It says, for the great day of his wrath. God's wrath has come. And then he asked an incredible question. Who is able to stand? Well, now we find out that question, that answer to that question in chapter 7. And it's important that we see something as we study chapter 7. And that's God's incredible grace and his incredible love. It appears in the darkest time in the history of mankind. We call it the Great Tribulation Period. Jesus called it that as well. And in that period of time, there are those that are going to come to Christ throughout all the horrible things that are happening. So we are about to witness the greatest revival in the history of all of mankind. And we have two visions from John. We have two people groups, okay, if you will. So in verses 1 through 8, the people groups are Jewish. And then verses 9 through 17, they are Gentile. Now let's look this morning, the saved and the sealed, beginning in verse 1. John writes and he says, after these things, meaning the four horsemen of the apocalypse, the opening of the sixth seal, John says, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, meaning north, south, east, west, covering all of the earth. And look what they were doing, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on number one, the earth, number two, the sea, and number three, on any tree. Isn't that wild? So four is the number of the entire world, or worldwide effect, if you will. north, south, east, and west. That's equivalent to us saying, everything's going to come from every direction against us. You know what I mean? Now, it says four corners. Look at it. Four corners of the earth. Now, we know what that means. It means that the flat earth theory is correct, doesn't it? Now, who said hallelujah? You need prayer. No. You know that doesn't. And they. Some people, never mind. I don't even want to go. I don't even have the strength to talk about that. No, listen, it means that God's judgment is going to be coming to all of the entire earth. It's global, not a local situation, if you will. And the four angels, look what they're doing. They are holding the four winds of the earth. Now, the word holding there in the Greek would suggest this, that the four winds are struggling with the angels to be released to fulfill the judgment of that's coming, the judgment of God that's coming upon the planet, okay? Now, the wind, when it comes to Scripture, can both be literal and it can also be symbolic. Now, in chapter 8, when we get over to chapter 8, I think it's verses, 7 through 12. That's literal. The trees and the seas, they're going to be struck, okay? But also, it can be symbolic, like trees and the sea can mean people and nations. For example, is Israel considered the fig tree? Yes, so we can say, okay, we understand that part. Now, when it comes about the judgment, listen to what it says in Jeremiah 49:36. God says in his word, against Elam, I will bring the four winds from the four quarters of heaven. And that means the winds of judgment. And I'm going to scatter them to all of those winds, so no nations where the outcast will go. So, but when we look at verse 1, all right, verse 1 should be understood, as literal. It's not symbolic, all right? So God's wrath is temporarily on hold, and the winds of judgment are being held back for a reason, for God's purpose. Look at beginning in verse 2. And then John says, and then I saw another angel. Now that would make it the fifth angel, okay? I saw another angel ascending from the east. I like the Greek better. It would be, I saw another angel from the rising of the sun. That's much more beautiful, isn't it? And it says, and look what he had now, having the seal of the living God. And look what the angel did. He cried out with a loud voice. In Greek, that is megaphone. Megaphone. We get our word megaphone, okay? With a loud voice to the four angels. So he yelled out to them, to whom it was granted to harm the earth, the sea, saying, now the fifth angel, so look what he's going to do. He's going to postpone the judgment. Do not harm the earth, do not harm the sea or the trees, and here's the reason, till we have sealed the servants of God on their what? On their foreheads. So the four angels who were on their mission, now their mission has been temporarily postponed. So this fifth angel, we don't know who he is, nameless angel, he has something he's bringing to the other angels, five angels total, he's bringing to them the seal of the living God. So it's incredible. So the angels of God are literally, they're carrying whatever that is there, they're carrying the means of the sealing. And also it was going to be for the servants of God. And that word servants is doulos. In the Greek, doulos means slave. It means a bondservant. It means that these servants of God, their will is swallowed up totally in the will of another, meaning Almighty God. Amen? So here come the angels, here come the seals, and look at the location again. It says, on their foreheads. Isn't it interesting that later on that there's going to be a counterfeit mark on the forehead too? Amen. The devil copies everything. He's a counterfeiter, okay? So we find that over in what? Revelation 13, 16. Now, it says here in verse 4, and I heard the number of those who were sealed. 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. Now listen carefully. Out of all the people groups in the world at that time, out of all the different races, out of all the different governments, all the different peoples and so forth, God chose the apple of his eye. He chose the Jews, that small remnant. And here's what's sad today, and this is one of a big problem in the church in America especially, and it's tragic that so many teachers and so many denominations, they hold the unbiblical doctrine of what we call replacement theology. What is replacement theology? Well, it means that they teach that the church has replaced Israel in all of God's prophetic plans. In other words, God is through with Israel. It's all about the church, okay? And so, but we don't believe that. I don't believe that at all. We don't teach that here. We believe the Bible teaches that God will never, ever, ever, ever forsake Israel, okay? Yes. Now, if God has cast away Israel, we need to go home right now to whoever has a big house. And you're going to cook a lot of hamburgers and hot dogs. Is this Super Bowl Sunday? I don't even know who's playing. Isn't that sad? But I did hear that Bugs Bunny is going to be the halftime. That's what it's going to be like for children, right? But now, where was I? If God has cast away Israel, okay? If that's true, we really do need to close our Bibles right now. I'm not going to believe another word of it. And let me tell you why, okay? And I'll tell you from God's word why, not from me. I could give you many different scriptures, but let me just give you one. Psalm 89:31, God says this, "If they, Israel, if they break my statutes and do not keep my commandments," in other words, even if Israel is sinful, even if they are disobedient, listen to what God says, "then I will punish their transgressions with the rod and their iniquity with stripes." God corrects, disciplines those he loves. Amen? Okay. "Nevertheless, my loving kindness will not utterly take from him, nor allow my faithfulness to fail. My covenant," meaning my covenant with Israel, "I will not break. I will not alter the word that has gone out of my lips. Once I have sworn to my holiness, I will not lie to David. His seed shall endure forever." Everyone say forever. Forever. Is that a long time? "His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me, it shall be established forever like the moon, even like the faithful witness in the sky," Selah or Selah. In other words, pause and really think about what that scripture just said. Listen to me. God's covenant that he made with Abraham is an everlasting covenant. It's immutable. It can't be changed. And that covenant was made 4,000 years ago, loved one. No, listen, God is not through with Israel. I encourage everyone today to do a Bible study during halftime of the Super Bowl. That way it will be a happy hour, all right? And that is, listen, I want you to read Romans 9. Romans 9, it speaks about Israel's past election. Then I want you to read Romans 10. It speaks about Israel's present rejection. Then I want you to read Romans 11, which speaks about Israel's future restoration. And you know why? Because Israel is the only nation on earth that has ever been that has a complete history. No one else on the planet has a complete history but the nation of Israel. Now listen carefully. The church is not Israel. And the tribes of Israel are not the children of the church. They're not. That's not us, loved one. No, the church, we know what happened to the church. There at the end of chapter 3, beginning of chapter 4 of Revelation, the church has been raptured. We have been caught up. We are in heaven. Why? Revelation 3:10, Jesus promised to keep us from the hour of trial that was going to come to test everyone on this planet. Amen? So the church is in heaven. They're seated with Christ in the heavenlies in the future in our text. So the great tribulation, loved one, Israel's going to face that. It's not the time of the church's trouble. It's the time of Jacob's trouble. Amen? Meaning Israel. So who are being sealed? Not Gentiles, Jews. The 12 tribes of Israel. 12 times 12 is 144. You can say 144,000. Amen? So listen, they're from all of the tribes. I love what O.J. Vern McGee, now he's in heaven. He said this. He said, you know, I wish I could talk like him right now. He said, when God deals with Israel, I have always noticed that he deals with dates and he deals with numbers. Now, when he's dealing with the church, he does not deal with either dates or numbers. Isn't that a true word? Yeah. The 7 years of the tribulation period have nothing to do with the church. They were prophesied by Daniel, weren't they? And they have to do with the nation of Israel. Again, the 70th week of Daniel, the time of Jacob's trouble. Now, the number 12 is very significant concerning the nation of Israel. And it was first given unto them, 12 tribes. Amen? So you have 12 tribes. How many stones, precious stones, was on the high priest of Israel? 12. How many loaves of bread was in the tabernacle? 12. 12 is a number for Israel, loved one. And one day when we are in heaven, guess what we're going to find in the city of God? Let me read it to you. Revelation 21:12. It says, and also John says, oh, there was a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates. And the names that were written on them, on the gates, were the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Interesting. Now, verse 4. Who were sealed? Jews. 144,000 Jews from the 12 tribes of Israel, chosen by God for the darkest time in all of history. I want to say something. I want to stop right here. I want you to think about something. What is going to, let's go back to the present right now. Before the rapture of the church, is the church going to fall away? Yes. The church is going to fall. They're going to be apostate. They're going to start denying the word of the living God. Think about that. So we're all, don't get puffed up, man. God uses the Jews. He didn't use the church then. Think about that. And the only churches that are left on this planet are two. You're either in one or the other. You're in Laodicea, the apostate church, or Philadelphia, the faithful church. Amen? So with all of that being said, these 144,000 Jews, they were sealed. And what does the seal speak of? Well, number one, it speaks of ownership. It speaks of protection, and it speaks of security. So the 144,000 Jewish evangelists, okay, they were set aside by a divine, for divine protection and a divine impartation of the Holy Spirit of God. You say, well, Bill, how do you know that? Well, because Joel, the Old Testament prophet, foretold this event. Now, if you'd like, it's hard to turn in an app, I know, but if you have a real Bible, you can turn and follow with me, or if you don't, you can just listen to me, because in Acts, when the birth of the church on the day of Pentecost, there were 120 up in the upper room. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was one of them, the 12 apostles and so forth. And guess what they were doing? When the Holy Spirit came upon them, they started all speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Remember? Yeah. Well, if you read all the way on down, you'll find out that the people from all these different nations heard them speaking in their own languages, and they were going, what's going on? How can this be? And what does it mean? And others started mocking in Acts 2:16, I think it is, or no, 2:12, started mocking them, say, oh, these men are drunk. And so what did Peter do? He said, they don't sell Moby David at 9 a.m. in the morning. No, he said, no, these men are not drunk as ye suppose. They're not at all. He said, listen, here comes what he said. He said, but this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In other words, from Joel chapter 2, verse 28 through 32, you can read it later. And it shall come to pass, Joel, the prophet, says, in the last days, saith God. Now, when the church was birthed, we entered the last days, right? Okay. It says, in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. It'll come to pass in the last day, say, I pour my spirit on all flesh. Your sons, your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. Now, that was all still going on today. Now, what I'm about to tell you now from Acts, from Peter's sermon, is all future and has not yet happened. And it says in verse 19, then I will show, God says, wonders in heaven above, signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. Those are all the judgments, by the way, we're studying in Revelation. And it says, and the sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood. When is that going to happen? It says, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. In other words, the great tribulation period, verses 19 through 20 here in Acts, which is yet future. And those events are not local, as a preterist would say. They are global, okay? Now, Joel described the sixth seal judgment. Do you know that? Let me give you, it's back in chapter 6, verse 12. It says, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair. The moon became like blood. And then what did Joel say at the very end of the prophecy? In verse 21 of Acts. Let me read it to you. And it shall come to pass that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And let me say that the sealed, they called on the name of the Lord and they were saved. Amen. And just like when we called on the name of the Lord, were we sealed? Yes, Ephesians 1:13 and Ephesians 4:30. We were sealed unto the very day of redemption. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 2:19, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows who are his. Amen. And there's only two types of people on earth, those who belong to God and those who belong to someone else. Now, what is the seal? Because at the end of the great tribulation period, John sees the 144,000 standing in victory on Mount Zion. He didn't see 143,000. He saw 144,000, okay? Not one was missing. Let me tell you what the seal is. Revelation chapter 14, verse 1. Let me read it. John says, and then I looked, and there was before me the Lamb standing on Mount Zion. I'm going to cover this at the end of the sermon, the Lord willing. And with him, 144,000 who had his name and his Father's name written on their foreheads. That was the seal. Isn't that amazing what God does? Now, whether everyone could see it, I don't know, but I'll tell you what, demons could see it. The devil could see it. The angels of God could see it. You know why? They were not harmed at all in the great tribulation period. We started in chapter 7, 144,000. We're in chapter 14 of Revelation. We still have 144,000. Man, they were not touched at all because they were saved. They were sealed. So multitudes upon multitudes are going to be saved through their ministry in the great tribulation period. Look at verse 4 now. And then it says, and I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000, from all the tribes of the Pentecostal movement. Oh, I'm sorry. from the Baptist. No. From Calvary, no. It says from all the tribes, not a few of the tribes, all the tribes of the children of Israel. So these are all Jews. Do you understand? They are Jews. And Israel will go through the great tribulation period. But it says they were what? Sealed. Again, they were made secure. And that's the main point of the sealing, all right? It says of the tribe of Judah, and forgive me, I'm just going to read the tribes. So look at them. Judah, Reuben, Gad, Asher, Manasseh, Simeon, Levi, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, Benjamin, of the 12,000 were sealed. So there's something here that's amiss. It's not wrong, but it's just amiss. And that there are two tribes from past history of the Jewish history, and they're not listed in this context, and that's Ephraim and Dan. Now, this is a whole nother sermon. So I just put a little bit of note down. I want to make sure I read it correctly, because this is something that I don't study out that deeply, because I just know it to be true. Is that okay? Okay. So the Bible lists the 12 tribes of Israel 29 times in the Bible, okay? The first appearance of that is in Genesis 35, verses 22 through 26. The second listing of the 12 tribes of Israel, Genesis 49, 3 through 28. Now, I want you to listen very carefully. At the end of the tribulation period, at the second coming of Christ, the millennial kingdom. You know, I encourage you today, and I really sincerely mean this, read Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 40, and it goes to 48, I believe. It's all about the millennial temple. It is unbelievable. You cannot even imagine how huge this temple is. It's going to be built, yes, where? On the Temple Mount. But, you know, when the Lord returns and he puts his foot down on the Mount of Olives, is there going to be an earthquake? Yes. All the geographic landscape of Israel, where the temple is and all that, it's all going to be changed. It's going to be flattened. And if you study out Ezekiel, you'll find that this temple, not only is it over the top beautiful, it is gigantic. I mean, it's unbelievable, and it could never be built unless all that was leveled out. It's just unbelievable to just go through that. But here's the thing. At the end of the tribulation period, at the second coming, the millennial kingdom, this temple, the millennial temple is there. In Ezekiel chapter 48, verses 3 through 34, we find the last and final list of the 12 tribes of Israel, okay? Now, and Dan, like I just said, was absent from chapter 7 that we're reading, okay? But the one in Ezekiel is identical to the first listing found in Genesis, with the tribes are in perfect order. So you say, well, Bill, why was Dan omitted? Why was Ephraim not included? And yet in Ezekiel 48, you find Ephraim in the mix. Why? I don't know, except I believe the answer is found is because those two tribes led the children of Israel into idolatry, okay, in the old covenant. Now, let me give you the scriptures. In Judges 18:30, it says, the children of Dan, well, they set up themselves the carved images. In other words, remember the two golden calves? They set one up in Dan and the other one in Bethel, in the land of Ephraim, okay? Now, and then in Hosea 4:17, it says Ephraim, now that was the northern kingdom, Ephraim joined to idols. God says, leave them alone. Now, let me tell you why I think they're omitted from God's law, the law of Moses. Let me read it to you. Deuteronomy 29:18 through 21. So that there may not be among you man or woman, family or tribe that turns his heart away from the Lord and serves other gods or the gods of the nations. And the Lord would separate him from him all the tribes of Israel for adversity. In other words, if any tribe that turned from God to worship an idol, he says, you're going to go through it. Now, that meant that the tribe of Dan and Ephraim, they're going to go through the great tribulation period because they're not listed here. They won't be protected. But in Ezekiel chapter 48, Dan and Ephraim share in the millennial, the thousand-year reign of Christ, and all of the blessings. You say, well, Bill, that's confusing, isn't it? I don't understand all of this, but this much is clear. Loved one, the church is not Israel, and Israel is not the church. Amen? This is future. God's word says 12 tribes. He didn't say the lost tribes of Israel. Where are they? God knows where they, all of them are. And listen, Israel will outlast every nation on earth. If Jerusalem, if Israel's not there, how can the second coming take place? Amen? Amen? The Mount of Olives, it's got to be there, loved one. It's the most important nation on earth. Now, so how successful were the 144,000 Jewish evangelists? They brought about a worldwide revival. Look at verse 9. Now, the second people group here, watch this. After these things, I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, and look where they're from, of all nations and tribes and peoples and tongues, and they were standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, that speaks of the righteousness of Christ, with palm branches in their hands, speaks of the victory that they have, and they were crying out with a loud voice, saying, oh, salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. The Lamb is the one who paid for our salvation. Amen? And salvation belongs to God our Father and to Jesus Christ. There is no salvation in any other. Amen? All right. So this second people group, man, the greatest revival in history, they came out of all the nations. You couldn't even number them. And they came to Christ during the worst period in human history. Now, there are those that love the Lord, and they're great scholars, and they're going to be in heaven. But they teach that the rapture of the church cannot occur because the gospel of Jesus Christ must be first preached to every nation on earth, and then the end will come. Okay? And they cite what Jesus said in Matthew 24:14. Jesus said this, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Well, listen, the church, we're not fulfilling that obligation. Isn't that sad? But the Jews will. The 144,000, they will fulfill the prophecy of Jesus Christ. They will. To the Jew first, then to the Gentile. Amen? Amen? Now, listen to me carefully. If the whole world needed to hear the gospel before the rapture, why in the world there'd be no need for 144,000 Jewish evangelists? Amen? But God in his incredible grace, that's what he did. He wants everyone saved, even in the great tribulation people, whoever will turn to him. And not only that, loved one, in his unbelievable grace and his mercy and his love, you know what he did? He even chose a flying angel in the heavens. That's his pulpit. Can you imagine this? And he's preaching to all of the world. Let me give you the scripture. He's preaching the good news. Revelation 14:6. And then John says, I saw another angel flying. Would that be cool to see that? Yes. I mean, well, never mind. That's how messed up I am this morning. It says, another angel flying in the midst of heaven. And listen to what he had. Having the everlasting gospel. And what did he do with it? He says, to preach it. Preach it to whom? To those who dwell on the earth. Now listen carefully. To every nation, to every tribe, to every tongue, to every people, saying with a loud voice, fear God. Give him glory. for the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made heaven and earth. So God uses 144,000 Jewish evangelists, and then he's going to make sure another movement of grace and love on his part. He sends that angel flying to every person. Every person on earth is going to hear that. Well, what kind of God do we serve? Now look at verse 11. And all the angels stood around the throne, and the elders, now remember the 24 elders, that's the church seated in heaven, and the elders and the four living creatures fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing, glory, and wisdom, thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and might. So that sevenfold blessing they spoke out. Seven means completeness, the complete blessing, and so forth. It says, be to our God forever and ever, amen. And then, watch one of the church members, probably a Baptist, watch this. I'm teasing, we love Baptists. I got to quit saying that, you know what? I need another denomination. You know, they're going to really think I don't like them, but I love them. Then one of the elders, that's a church, the member of the church, okay? One of the elders answered, saying to me, speaking to John, well, who are these arrayed in white robes? And where did they come from? Well, they didn't have palm branches. That means that they are new arrivals in heaven, okay, that came out of the Great Tribulation period. So the elder's question, now he's not seeking knowledge, he knows. He's trying to teach a fact to John. John, who are these countless people that you cannot number here and standing in white robes? Where in the world did they come from? And look what John says, verse 14. And I said to him, well, sir, you know. Isn't that pretty cool? You trying to put something off on me? I mean, I need a little bit more revelation about this. And so he said to me, these are the ones who come out of what? The great tribulations and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. These are those who came to faith in Christ during the great tribulation period after the rapture of the church who is already in heaven. Now, I want you to notice that the word the tribulation, okay? The is specific. Now, so it's a specific time. You could literally, it would read this way. The tribulation, the great one. So it speaks there, expresses a specific time. And this is these are not the saints of all the ages that I just read to you. These are people, these are tribulation believers. They came to Christ. So this is a future event, a specific time in history. We know what it is. Jesus told us about the time that would come upon this planet, the great tribulation period. So these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation period, which is the last great revival on earth. So many of those, they're going to die for their faith. They're going to suffer greatly. They're not going to take the mark of the beast. And if you don't have the mark of the beast, you can't buy, you can't sell, you can't do anything. Amen? And so they suffered death, but it says, remember the last part there, but they washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. You know, Revelation 12:11 says this, and they overcame him, meaning Satan, the accuser of the brethren. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives unto death. Now, when the tribulation ends, who's really going to be standing? Let me read it to you. I told you I'd come back to Revelation 14:1. Let me read it to you again. At the end of the tribulation period now, John says, and then I looked and behold a lamb. That's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And listen to where he was standing. He was standing on Mount Zion. You know, Psalm 43 or something. It says, Mount Zion, the joy of the whole earth. Amen? the joy of the whole earth. And or Jerusalem, the city of truth, it says in Zechariah 8:3. So they were standing on Mount Zion, and with the Lamb, with Jesus, watch this, 144,000. And who were they? Having his Father's name written on their foreheads. Do you know that the 144,000 that are on the earth, they will witness the second coming? They will witness the heavens rolling back like a scroll. They will enter the millennial reign. Man, what a day that is going to be, loved one. And I heard a voice from heaven like the voice of many waters and like the voice of the loud thunder. And I heard the sound of harpists playing their harps. Now watch this. And they sang a new song before the throne, before the living creatures and before the elders, meaning the church. Now look at this. No one could learn that song except the 144,000 Jewish evangelists from every tribe who were redeemed from the earth, meaning purchased to enter into the 1,000-year reign of Christ on this planet. It says, these are the ones who were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. I take that to mean idolatry, spiritual fornication. They were so far removed from that. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. They were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits to God and to the Lamb. Remember, the first fruits was considered the finest, right? And so there they are. They're saved during the Great Tribulation, and more is going to be saved. But look at verse 15. Therefore they, these tribulation saints, they are before the throne of God. They were right there. Like God is rewarding them and blessing them. They came out of that great tribulation period, that intimacy before the Lord. And they're before the throne of God. And look what they do. They serve him day and night in his temple. And he sits on the throne. He who sits on the throne will dwell, or literally he will live among them. So those who come out of the great tribulation period, they have a different ministry than the church that's already in heaven, okay? And it says the day and night. Now listen carefully. The reason I know that this is earth in the millennial reign is because there is no night in heaven. It says day and night. There's, loved one, Revelation 21, I don't know, 25 or something in there, or verse 5, I don't know, it's in 21. There is no night. Amen? It's one continuous day because the Lamb is its light. Amen? So this is, here is Ezekiel's incredible millennial temple, okay? And in Revelation 20, verse 4, about them, listen to what it says about them. John says, and I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus, the Word of God, who had not worshiped the beast or his image, that had not received the mark on their foreheads or their hands. They lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. These are the tribulation believers who came to Christ and now they're serving the Lord in the 1,000-year or the millennial reign of Christ, the kingdom age, if you will. Now look at verse 16. And they shall neither hunger anymore, which means, again, they couldn't buy with us the mark or anything, sell. So they were hungry. And they are thirsty anymore. For the sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne, look what he will do to them. He will shepherd or feed them. And he will lead them to living waters. Where? Where are they at? I'll tell you in a moment. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Oh, Jesus, he's a good shepherd, isn't he? He's the great shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. One day we'll be with him. This happens at the second coming. Let me read it to you. Zechariah 14:8. And in that day, it shall be that the living waters, remember I said the living fountain of waters in verse 16 and 17 there? That the living water shall flow from Jerusalem, half of them toward the eastern sea, that would be the Dead Sea, and half of them toward the western sea, that would be the Mediterranean, and in both summer and winter it shall occur. Loved one, that's literal, that's not symbolic. The millennial temple in Jerusalem will be, it's not only incredible, it's awesome. It is the capital of the entire earth. Jesus is on the throne of David, amen? He is the son of David. Boy, he fulfills all the promises of God. And it says in Zechariah 14:9, it says, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. The Lord, the name above every name. Jesus is going to be king over all the earth. In that day, meaning the millennial reign, the thousand-year reign of Christ, that's the Lord calling me right now. And he says, and it shall be, the Lord is one, and he's going, preach it, Bill. And he says, and his name shall be one. So what does that mean? Finally, at last, man is no longer ruling. Finally, the government is upon his shoulders, amen? Oh, what a day it's going to be when man reigns, ends upon this planet, and Jesus reigns forever and ever. What a day. Oh, listen, in that day, the entire world, everyone on earth, that's when the Matthew 25, the sheep and the goat judgment take place, those who were for Israel and those who were not. Oh, listen, that's that day the whole world will recognize Jesus. He really is the Lord of Lords. He really is the King. And they'll also realize there's really just only one God. Amen? It's going to be a great day. And think about it. Jesus is now King over all the earth, but there was a man on this earth. He may be alive right now. And he sold his soul to the devil so he could be King over all the earth. But he didn't make it. And he's going to end up in the lake of fire, which is hell, the eternal hell, Gehenna, forever and ever and ever. No, the last revival, the greatest harvest of all in the history of all mankind. Oh, what a great day that's going to be. We began our study with, Revelation chapter 6, verse 17. For the great day of his wrath has come. Who is able to stand? Well, we found out, right? Only those that are in Christ Jesus. Only those and no one else. If you're not in Christ, you're not going to stand. You're not going to make it. Jesus is the only way. He is the only answer. There is no other way to heaven. There is no other way to be saved and except through Christ Jesus our Lord. The Bible, Jesus told us, you must be born again. You cannot enter heaven if not. You can't even see the kingdom. You'll miss all of that. I know in the early service, loved one, that most of us, probably all of us, are saved this morning. But maybe there's someone here that's not. And I've just fed you and now I want to fish. Is that okay? As our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If you're here this morning, maybe you're visiting, maybe you're listening live, I don't know. But you have never really, I'm talking about really, said, Jesus, be the Lord of my life. Come and live in my heart. Forgive me and cleanse me. I want me to belong to you and only you. If you've never done that, you can do it right now. Why wait if you're not saved? Come to him this moment. You say, Bill, how? You don't have to get out of the chair or any of those. Just lift your hand and say, Bill, I want that. I want you to pray for me. I want Jesus to be my Lord. You lift it up high where I can see it, and then you put it right back down. Anyone at all in this early service? I don't see anyone. Well, I thank God for that. Maybe you're listening live, and you say, Bill, I want that. Or you're listening on the radio, well, then right now just say, Jesus, be my Lord. Come into my heart. Save me. If you'll believe that, he will, because he loves you and he died for you. Lord, thank you for today. You know, there's just no one like you. Your word, there's nothing like your word. Nothing. There's nothing on earth like your word, Lord, and how good it is. Bless your people today, Lord. And I thank you that all of their TV sets and will go out at the Super Bowl unless Bugs Bunny is really on, Lord. So bless them today in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Amen. God is good. Let's stand to our feet, shall we? Now, somebody tell me, who is playing? Seattle? The Patriots? Wow. Tom Brady, is he still playing for them? If you're visiting for the very first time, I'm sorry, okay? This is the best you can have, all right? And anyway, in the main lobby, there's a visitor center. Please stop in, and they'll answer any questions that you may have. They have all kinds of information. If you need prayer, the prayer room is in the main lobby as well. There'll be men and women over there who love you. They'll pray for you. And what am I supposed to say next? We're going to sing. Is that right? Okay. And we're going to go home. And then I'm going to go to my office and sleep for 30 more minutes and come back out here, and hopefully the Lord will do this again. Amen? Let's sing to the Lord. God is so good. Thank you, Lord. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. And I love him so. Yes, we do. I love him so. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you in Jesus' name. Have a great day. God bless you.